The English Eccentric by E. O. Higgins.
In 1765, a distinguished French scholar by the name of Pierre-Jean Grosley visited England for the first time and was struck by the level of eccentricity he observed in the natives. Writing home on the subject, he noted that this unusual behaviour he had observed could be attributed to a mixture of fogs, beef, and beer, aggravated by the tedium of the English Sunday. The writer Edith Sitwell stated that many were called eccentrics because they're entirely unafraid of and uninfluenced by the opinions and vagaries of the crowd. And she'd know. Her father, Sir George Sitwell, wrote an expose of the medieval acorn, penned the definitive how-to guide to using a bed, and tried, unsuccessfully, to sell a modified egg to Selfridges. But what is eccentricity? Eccentricity is that sort of behaviour in individuals that is considered odd, unusual, or quirky. It describes an often unintentional breaking away or dismissal of the social norms, to pursue avenues in life that are often considered beyond normal priorities. But there's always something fairly benign in the motives of the true eccentric. Otherwise, any old serial killer could make the list. The eccentrics we'll meet in this podcast series are often people with corkscrew minds, peculiar obsessions, and largely incomprehensible outlooks. They straddle the sexes and all social classes. Some of their stories are famous, but most are unjustifiably obscure. But hopefully, what they all are is worth a listen.
Reverend Frederick Densham, 1870 to 1953. The Paper Priest.
Drinking ale is against God. Whist tournaments are the devil's business. Organ music comes directly from Lucifer's backside.
Warleggan is a tiny, isolated hamlet situated on the southern edge of Bodmin Moor, in the English county of Cornwall, which, until 1953, when a road was built connecting it to the A38 motorway, was regarded as one of Britain's most remote and inaccessible places. This was certainly what it was like in 1931, when the Reverend Frederick Densham became the rector of St. Bartholomew Church, and quickly set about alienating himself from his new congregation. One of Reverend Densham's first acts, following his installation at the parish, was to erect an 8-foot barbed wire fence around the church house. Ostensibly, this was to stop his Alsatian puppies from worrying the sheep of local farmers. But the barricade hardly set a happy tone or encouraged visits from his new parishioners. Despite the fact that Warleggan was an extremely quiet place, where little of note went on, a few events had been organised by Reverend Densham's predecessor in an effort to instil a sense of community in the village. However, it seemed that Densham saw little worth in these. Accordingly, such raucous activities as a parish whist tournament were immediately banned by the new rector, much to the confused consternation of his new congregation. Densham also immediately halted Sunday school at the church, and demanded an end to choral activities, on the perhaps understandable grounds that he didn't want to listen to any more organ music than was strictly necessary. In fact, the ancient church organ quickly became a source of considerable rancour for Densham, who declared that it gabbled profanity at him. His vitriolic hatred of its music, and his endless complaint, quickly drove away the church organist. And when a replacement was eventually found by the parish council, the vicar responded by habitually locking him out of the church, until he finally got the message and never came back. One day it all became too much, and Densham decided he wanted to have the organ ripped out of the church altogether. Naturally, his parishioners were appalled, and the old man was finally convinced that this might not be a popular move by an outspoken church warden named Nick Bunt, who told him,
"If you touch that organ, vicar, I'll knock ye down."
The vicar's impulses weren't all destructive, however, and at one point he built a children's playground in the back garden of the rectory with his bare hands. Which might have been a nice thing, except he never told anyone about it, and consequently, no children ever played there. Keen to make his own mark on the church, Densham redecorated it over the course of a week, both in secret and at night. Having slathered the walls of the 12th century church with a garish mix of red, blue and yellow paint, and then given its ancient stone pillars a much needed lease of life by painting them in black and white stripes, Densham reopened the church for his usual Sunday service, only for many of his already shrinking congregation to walk out in disgust. Many of the church's parishioners naturally saw the Reverend's poor interior design effort as a sure sign that instead of practicing the Church of England faith, he was instead practicing some strange pagan religion. It was also rumoured about the village that he had a library festooned with old tomes covering such esoteric subjects as witchcraft, devil worship, and the occult. As a graduate of London University and the Divinity School at Oxford, it is probable that someone had simply confused Densham's academic research books on Eastern religions with something darker. Whatever the case may be, at the manifest anger of his congregation for desecrating their house of worship, Densham responded by painting out the church's windows, which, on balance, probably didn't help matters. Despite his congregation dwindling, Densham carried on preaching from the pulpit, giving impassioned sermons on the evils of whist and concert music, which he designated amusements from hell, whilst extolling the virtues of abstinence and vegetarianism. To an English flock in the 1930s, this must have seemed peculiar to the point of madness. Over the years, the Reverend Densham's appeal continued to become more selective, until, soon enough, there were Sunday services at which no one from the parish attended. Regardless, he carried on preaching to the empty church, his indignant denouncing of leisure activities presumably echoing off the luridly coloured stonework. Not unreasonably, the scattered flock of St. Bartholomew petitioned the Bishop of Truro to have Densham replaced. Though bombarded with claims of eccentric behaviour and misdeeds by the cleric, including one where Densham supposedly threatened to sell the First World War memorial, and another where he allegedly told a parishioner that he would murder him with his holy magic, the bishop, Walter Frey, stuck by his man and stated that he could find no ecclesiastical reason for dismissing him. The obstinacy of the bishop resulted in the entire parish council resigning in protest and organising a boycott of the church. Over time, Densham seemed to accept the fact that he'd clearly driven away his entire flock, and he would make careful record of the lack of turnout within the church register, adding in such remarks as, "No fog, no wind, no rain, no congregation." Of his quarrel with the people of Warleggan, Densham remarked,
"Before I came here, there was a daily mass. I cut it out because it was illegal, and so the mass people stayed away. Then I refused to allow dancing or whist drives, and the amusement lovers left."
Evidently, rather than simply being an irritant for its own sake, Densham was doing what he believed was his Christian duty. Writing to the bishop about his lack of congregation, Densham asked him what he thought he should do about the situation. The bishop told him to concentrate his efforts on winning around the younger members of the parish, who might be a bit more open-minded than their parent. Accordingly, Densham would periodically venture out to nearby Bodmin to buy sweets, and then offer them to any children he encountered on the way home. This might have been a winning ploy, if it wasn't for the fact that most of the children refused him on the grounds that their mothers had warned them not to accept anything from him. And so the elderly cleric would shamble home, pockets bulging with sherbet lemons. Aware that he might need to do more to win the hearts and minds of the local children than just offer them confectionery, Densham purchased a lantern slide projector, and, using blackout boards to cover the windows of the rectory's barn, created a makeshift picture house. Here, he decided he would put on shows based on the Greek legends and stories from Arabian Nights, which would naturally thrill such provincial children. However, though he took to the streets to inform the local populace about the shows, when the time came, of course, no children showed up. Densham had misjudged it. After all, if most of the local mothers didn't want their kids accepting gobstoppers from the notorious rector, none were going to send them along to sit in a darkened barn with him. It was probably for the best, as in any case, many of Densham's lantern slides, which still exist today, are of scenes that would probably have terrified children. One, depicting the Cyclops Polyphemus having his single eye gouged out, was a particularly lurid and gruesome example. Finally, Densham shut himself away in his rectory and became a virtual recluse. Though he never saw any of his own parishioners, he remained open to interviews with strangers to the parish, though if they were a minute late to the meeting, he refused to open the door to them. Twice a month, a Bodmin grocery roundsman delivered a supply of oats, butter, and margarine, leaving them in a crate outside the entrance of the rectory. From this, Densham would fashion his single daily meal of porridge, which he supplemented with nettles from his garden. Rather than attempt any further reconciliations with his congregation, Densham instead fitted a public address system at the church, and on Sundays he would belt out his sermons to anyone that might be in earshot. Apparently unhappy about preaching to an entirely empty church, Densham decided to create a new congregation, fashioning figurines from paper and cardboard and propping them up in the pews. These figures, each named after a former rector at St. Bartholomew, remained in situ for many years and would listen attentively to all Densham's Sunday sermons, though none of them ever took communion. Densham remained in his post at Warlegan until his death in 1953, becoming a much talked about, if rarely seen, figure. The character of Reverend Francis Davy in Daphne du Maurier's Jamaican Inn, 1936, is loosely based on Densham, and in Vanishing Cornwall, 1967, the novelist recounts how she and some friends had made several attempts to catch a glimpse of the celebrated vicar. On the first two occasions, du Maurier had found the entrance gate closed up and topped with a tangle of barbed wire. But on the third occasion, she and her friends climbed a bank at the back of the church and saw Densham at a distance.
There was the vicar, scarcely 20 yards away, pacing up and down his little plot of ground. A strange, unbelievable figure in a dark frock coat, green with age, a black shovel hat upon his head. We stared. He did not see us. Up and down he walked, with heaven knows what melancholy thoughts, what lonely speculations. We retreated, cowed.
In early 1953, someone realised that the Reverend Densham's weekly tannoy broadcast had stopped, and finally it was decided that a parishioner should attempt to break through the barricades and check on him. His body was duly discovered in the hallway of the rectory, lying at the bottom of the stairs, though no one was quite sure how long he had lain there. Upon entering the church, Densham's paper congregation were discovered still in place. patiently awaiting their next sermon.
Next on the English Eccentric.
The woman that invented Fanny.
Psst, over here.
Hello, it's E.O. Higgins here. Or Edward, my friend. I'm joking, of course. I don't have any friends. Anyway, I hope you enjoyed the English Eccentric and my magnificent brown tones. If you fancied supporting the podcast, there are several ways you can. You can follow it on Facebook and Twitter at Fogg's Beef and Beer. Or you could write a review wherever you download your podcasts. You can even follow the Patreon by going to www.englisheccentric.co.uk, where you'll get early access to episodes, exclusive content, and the opportunity to suggest subjects for future shows. And if you didn't like it, you know, don't listen. In next week's episode of The English Eccentric, a TV celebrity that was married bigamously twice, the second time by accident, that liked to wear ball gowns whilst baking hedgehogs, and who once tried to avoid a driving dispute by running over the other party in her Rolls-Royce. Stay tuned.